Say thank you, Mr. Pippi, and a great Sabbath to everybody that is out there. That last song does, God's heavens, do declare his glory. And to start off this sermon, I'd just like to sort of reminisce a little. When we were away over the year-end holiday, we were in Georgia, and we had the opportunity to have a bonfire, and we're sitting out. It was cool, but it was really a bright, clear evening, and it was I don't think it was quite the full moon. I was looking at the calendar, and I think the full moon was more right at the end of this rather than the 26th, but I think it was the 26th, the Saturday evening after the Sabbath. We'd build a bonfire for the kids, and here is the moon is just totally clear, round, almost a round ball. You couldn't tell that it wasn't a full moon, but it was glowing bright. The stars were out, and the kids were trying to find Orion's belt and the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper, and they do declare God's wonders. And it was just that opportunity to sit and enjoy and to realize that it was almost a full moon, and we started reminiscing that again, that it was 3 months since the feast. Time had gone fast, slipped away really quick, and then you start looking forward, and it was only about 3 months to the feast of the Passover. The spring holidays were coming, and so it all kind of comes together. You kind of start thinking, whoa, time is short, and we need to keep looking. That things are speeding up and do seem to pass real quickly. And this sermonette I called, What is Our Frame of Mind? And to start off with, I want to turn to Revelation 1 and verse 6 here. I get fumbled through here. Revelation 1 and verse 6. And hath made us kings and priests unto God his Father, and to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. This is, in reality, our job forever and ever. This is what we have. This is what we are looking forward to. And in order to obtain that goal, we must have the right frame of mind. We cannot have the frame of mind of this world. We have to change it to God's frame of mind. And we must not be swayed by this world, because the society is lots of things going on there that can distract you. As I say, that the time seems to be flying by. There's always seems to be things to run, to do. Oh, I need to be here. I need to be there. And our technology has not slowed things down. It has speeded it up even more. I can remember back when I was a kid, you know, new stove, a new fridge, a new this, a new that would save so much time. You'd have so much leisure time. Who has leisure time? I guess we do, because we run in circles doing stupid things that are in reality are not necessary, but yet this world does think that they are necessary. Because we realize that the spirit of society is one of get and lovers of themselves. In this day and age, I think we can see it more and more than ever before. You see things that go on with coworkers at work, the things they say, and the way their attitude towards life itself is totally me, 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 me. And it's strange when you find somebody that does seem to be sort of oriented towards other, but a lot of times the underlying is me, myself, and I. And it is very, very prevalent today. I'd like to go back to John and look at a perfect example. And this example is mentioned the feast, the days, the spring holidays are coming, Passover is coming. And we read this example every year. And I think it is one that really, really every time I read it, really shakes me and really makes me think that what somebody did for us. And in John 13, and we'll start in verse 4 and 5 first. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water in a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. You know, you look at that. Here is the King of the universe, our high priest, grabbed a towel and a basin of water and started washing some of these feet. That's not something you just sort of naturally do. Do we naturally go around when somebody comes in your house, grab a basin of water and wash their feet? I didn't grab a basin of water and wash Mr. Pippi's feet this morning, but that is a real sobering thought when you stop and think of it. And then go on down to starting in verse 12 through to 16. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, the perfect example right here that we are to follow, to serve and to help others, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Christ put us on the same plane as him and his Father in this, and his example was to serve. He didn't come to be a king as the world, to be a benefactor. He came to give, and he gave himself for us. Jesus also used another example in Luke of service, and for whether there was disciples were sort of talking about who was going to be greater than the other in this thing. For whether is greatest he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? Like, that's the way the society works. You have a king or somebody that seems to be important, always has servants, and they sit down and are served. But I, among you, am as the one that serveth. Again, he gives the example that he came to serve, not to be served. And you realize that he was the greatest. He's going to give us eternal life. Through him and his Father, they're going to give us eternal life. And we must have this same frame of mind. Are we in a frame of mind of service, or are we looking for some high position, waiting for the place of safety or God's kingdom to come, the millennium, so that we can be in a place of sort of like authority, like this world, to be a benefactor? If we have, we've got it wrong. Because they receive and last week in the update, Mr. Henderson at the end, he used a scripture he quoted, he sort of paraphrased it. But if, you know, the frame of mind that of getting is that because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. We must have that love of the truth, of God's truth and his way, in order to be saved. And then, in closing here, I'd just like to turn to 2 John, another scripture that Mr. Henderson put at the end of the update and the news analysis part of it. And I think it shows very clearly the only thing that we are going to take from this world, something that we must work very diligently to get. 2 John and verse 2, or yeah, 2 John verse 2. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be within us forever. We talk about that everything in this world is going to change and everything has to change. But there's something that's never going to change. The only true thing that we are going to take with us out of this society, this world as it is now. So never remember that. And let's make sure that we do have the right frame of mind.